Welcome to Planning for Retirement with Scott Nelson. Plan well, retire happy.
Hello and welcome everybody to this week's episode of Planning for Retirement podcast. I am so excited today to have a guest who I've looked up to for quite a while, David McKnight, New York Times bestselling author of The Power of Zero. In fact, I'm such a fan. I have his complete works here. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you having me on.
So I'm trying to decide where to even start, perhaps the beginning. We met 10 years ago now, I think, almost exactly down in Arizona in the Cardinals Stadium at an event, and you were kind enough to share dinner with me. And I found out you actually have ties to Brigham City, here where my office is located.
Yeah, that's right. My wife was born in Logan, Utah. She was raised in Brigham City. And so we spend a lot of time in Brigham City every summer. And I know you're an acquaintance of my father-in-law because Brigham City is not a very big town. But yeah, it's a great, great part of Utah.
Yeah, no, I thought that was the world was shrinking on me. And in the interleading time, I had a chance to read some of your books. And then about 2.5 years ago, we became associates in business, and I've tried to learn all I can from you. One of the questions that I was asked to inquire prior to BYU, I know you graduated from BYU, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Northern Virginia. I was born in Washington, D.C., grew up in Northern Virginia. And then I went to BYU, served a 2-year mission in Italy, came back, and graduated from BYU in 1997.
And Felice Caccia, and the rest is history.
This history. Seven children later, here we are still going strong. So it's been a great journey.
Awesome. And then from BYU, how'd you get started in financial services?
I went straight from BYU right into financial services. It's the only thing I've ever really done post-college. And I started out of Salt Lake City and later became a regional sales director for a financial services company out of Wisconsin. They parachuted me into Wisconsin. I didn't know a soul. They said, go beat the bushes. And I took Wisconsin from one of the worst states in the nation to among the very best in just about 3 years. So that was a lot of fun. And then everything really changed in 2013. I wrote a book that represented my cumulative worldview on all things financial up to that point in my life. It was a book that was based on a presentation that I developed over the prior 10 years. And it was a book that I wrote. I called it The Power of Zero. I threw it out on Amazon. It's this very beginning of when you could start self-publishing books on Amazon. So I self-published it. I threw it out on Amazon, crossed my fingers and hoped people would buy the book. And people started to buy the book above and beyond all my wildest expectations. And here we are. I think the book has sold almost 400,000 copies. It got picked up by Penguin Random House in 2018 and spawned a series of sequels and other books that I've written since then. The journey has been amazing, way beyond all my wildest expectations, and fomented, I think, a retirement planning revolution that's designed to shield a retiring generation of baby boomers from the impact of what we think are going to be dramatically higher taxes even 10 years from now. So I'm just grateful to be part of it.
I think you've led the charge, you know, from what I've been able to observe, because we're saying this was, what, 15, almost 20 years ago that you were already saying, here's something that's coming down the tracks. And I hadn't heard any of that. Now, granted, I wasn't really in the industry until 2013, but no one in my circles ever brought anything up even close to that. So I'm impressed. So happy to have you here. So we have Power of Zero. We've enjoyed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, lower rates for the last 8 years, got 2 more left before those expire. Will you be revising the Power of Zero to reflect some of that?
Yeah. So when I updated Power of Zero in 2018, when it got picked up by Penguin Random House. And the chapter that they asked me to put in was on the Trump tax cuts, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. Because what they did was they weren't able to get Congress to pass it under a 2-thirds majority. They got it under a simple majority. So they did it under what's called budget reconciliation. That means that those tax cuts had an expiration date. That means that they would expire in 8 years. So we know that come January 1st, 2026, tax rates are going to revert back to what they were in 2017. Okay. So the current version of the Power Zero reflects this 8-year period of tax cuts. And you've rightly pointed out that we've got 2 years left. So I am planning on doing an updated and revised version in 2020, 2025 that reflects what's going to happen in 2026. And what is going to happen in 2026? Well, like I said, tax rates will go back to what they were in 2017, but that's not the real news in my mind. The real news is what I think is going to happen to tax rates in 2030 and beyond. Remember, when tax rates revert back to what they were in 2017, we're really just talking about minor changes on the margins. The 22 becomes the 25, the 24 becomes the 28, the 37 becomes the 39.6. You know, these aren't life-altering increases in tax rates. I don't think anybody was going around in 2017 under those tax rates and saying, hey, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. What we've always been warning against is not that small increase on the margin. What we've been warning about echoes a lot of what former Comptroller General of the federal government, David Walker, has been saying, is that he predicted back in 2010 that tax rates would have to double or we go broke as a country. In fact, he wrote a best-selling book called Comeback America, in which basically he said that because of unfunded obligations for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which is Larry Kotlikoff is a famous professor out of Boston University. He says the underfunding is about $239 trillion, meaning we would have to have $239 trillion sitting in a bank account today earning treasury rates to be able to deliver on all the entitlement programs that we promised that we can't afford to pay. So we've got this massive hole in our entitlement spending, massive hole, if you will, in the budget over the next 75 years. And David Walker has said that if we don't double tax rates by 2030, then tax rates will have to go even higher for every year that we postpone doubling those tax rates. So this is a problem. Tax rates have to go up. And then there's a recent Penn Wharton study that came out that basically said, look, you don't have to double taxes in 2030. It will get worse after 2030 if you don't double taxes. But there comes a point in time beyond which, if you procrastinate, beyond which no amount of raising taxes or cutting spending will arrest the collapse of our financial system as we know it. Okay, so we can do lots of cutting of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid between now and 2043. We can do lots of raising of taxes between now and 2043. The sooner we put the fixes in place, the better. But if come 2043, we've kicked the can down the road and nothing has changed, then we will sort of go into this death spiral as a country and there'll be no stopping at that point. So we're a little bit in the crunch zone, as it were, in terms of having to put fixes in place beyond simply raising taxes ever so slightly on the margins in 2026. We're talking major increases in revenue, massive decreases in what we've promised to pay for these Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid entitlement programs, or some combination too. So we're getting into the crunch zone. And so I tell people, yes, there is opportunity between now and 2026 to take advantage of low tax rates. But really, it's between now and 2030 when we believe tax rates will have to skyrocket to fix the trajectory of our country.
Well, just depressing all over the place, isn't it? We have a lot of people that start getting really concerned, and all Social Security is just going to go bankrupt and be toast. What do you tell people on that note? Because, you know, you got baby boomers that are planning on that. That's just been part of what they've assumed for their retirement.
Yeah, I don't think baby boomers have to worry about Social Security. I think Social Security is going to be there for the baby boomers. If we don't do anything between now and, say, 2032, they're projecting that there's going to be a 22% cut in their Social Security. So something's going to happen. They're not going to lose their Social Security altogether, but there may be, if Congress doesn't put some things in place between now and 2032, there could be some reductions. I don't believe that any politician out there wants the single largest voting bloc in the nation, which is the baby boomers, 25% of all voters. I don't think any politician wants to tick those people off. And there's no better way to tick those people off than to tell them, because of inaction on our part, you're going to get a 22% reduction in your Social Security. I don't think anybody wants to do that. They'd rather borrow money to plug the hole in Social Security before have that happen. But here's what's going to happen with Social Security. I think it's a relatively easy fix. I think for people like me and Generation X and younger, I think if you say, look, lifespans are longer, people are living longer, people are working longer, you no longer need to retire at 62 or 65, you're probably going to retire at 70, what have you, because you're living longer. Nobody wants to spend 30 years in retirement. Maybe they only want to spend 20 years in retirement. So I think what they're going to do is they're going to push back Social Security to 70. I think that's going to there's going to be a general understanding that the new retirement age is 70, not 65. But I don't think that's going to be for baby boomers. I think it's going to be for the rest of us. And so what that does is it dramatically decreases the amount of money that you need to sustain Americans over the course of retirement. So that's an easy fix. Scott, the hard thing is not Social Security. The hard thing is Medicare. Because Medicare, we will spend five times more money on Medicare over the next 75 years than we will on Social Security alone. And there's no real easy way to fix Medicare. People are relying on age 65 getting Medicare. It increases the rate of inflation on Medicare is a lot higher than it is on Social Security. We're required to index Medicare to keep up with inflation each and every year. You can't print your way out of the problem because as you print more money, that devalues the dollar and increases the cost of Social Security and Medicare commensurately. So you can't really print your way out of the problem. But Medicare is a real big problem. And I think Medicare is the one thing that could bankrupt our country if we don't get serious about figuring out a way to make it more sustainable.
Well, they've been working on that for a while. We happen to do Medicare in our practice. And we saw 16 years ago or so, the Medicare Advantage plans be introduced. The government is paying private insurance companies much less than they figure it's costing them to administer that internally. And things are being tweaked, but it's still something that has to be paid. I mean, what they're paying to the insurance companies is a fraction of the Part B premiums. Yeah, something's going to have to give there for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the next 10 years is going to be very, very interesting because politicians are not anxious to fix these things because this is precisely, it's the third rail of politics. It's precisely the thing that can get you voted out of office. So they're kicking the can down the road. Their number one job is to get reelected. If you're a congressman, you got to do that every 2 years. So you're not going to do anything. Problem that has a deadline at 2043, a hard deadline at 2043. People aren't talking about fixing a problem that comes to a head in 2043. They're talking about, how do I get elected 2 years from now? How do I get elected 4 years from now if you're a president? How do you get elected 6 years from now if you're a senator? So Nassim Taleb, who is the author of Black Swan, and I believe also Irrational Exuberance, he says, look, it's just a frailty of our political system that people can get elected by conceding benefits to their constituencies. And no, once a benefit comes into existence, it's like Ronald Reagan says, this is the government program is the very definition of eternal life, because once it comes into existence, it never, ever goes away. And so I remember Paul Ryan, who's very conservative, he talked about cutting programs back in. He was running for election back in Wisconsin. This was years ago. And just the very mention of cutting Social Security or in some way making it more solvent and more sustainable over time. I mean, they were filming attack ads showing him pushing an old lady in a wheelchair over a cliff saying, this is what Paul Ryan wants to do to you. So there aren't that many politicians that are very enthusiastic about fixing Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So it's very, very easy to kick the can down the road, but that's precisely what's gotten us into so much trouble. And there, like I said, there comes a point in time where you simply can't kick the can down the road anymore.
Right. Which brings us kind of full circle back to what I've appreciated about our association is your analogy using the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote and being on the train track. And, you know, I tell clients, I plagiarize it all the time. I can't stop the train, but we can probably get you off the track or at least far away as we can and try to make you okay. It's best we can.
Yeah. Do. This is the problem with how most Americans have been saving money for retirement. They get a deduction on the front end. They get a deduction while tax rates are historically low. And then they postpone the payment of those taxes until a point in the future when most experts believe that tax rates are likely to be much higher than they are today. And so that made sense back in the 70s when the highest marginal tax bracket was 70%. And a lot of people were getting a deduction at 70% with the idea that they would be in a lower tax bracket down the road. The math there made a whole lot of sense. The problem is now the tables have turned about 180 degrees. We're at historically low tax rates. The highest marginal tax bracket is 37%. Experts are predicting the tax rates could be 70% even 10 years from now. So now the tax situation is precisely opposite of what it used to be, but people are still doing the same old paradigm, which is getting a deduction, and they're getting that deduction at historically low tax rates, only to postpone the payment of those taxes till a point in the future when they're likely to be dramatically higher than they are today. And so we use that analogy of the tax freight train that's bearing down on your retirement plan. And there's a very simple, easy way to avoid having your retirement plan get smashed by that tax freight train. And that's simply to pay a tax today, get those dollars shifted into tax-free accounts. We give you permission to not like it, but the reality is you're paying those taxes while they're on sale. You're getting those dollars shifted safely into tax-free accounts, and you do that before tax rates go up for good, so that by the time tax rates do potentially double over time, you've done all the heavy lifting. You can then take that money out 100% tax-free.
I love hearing you tell people what your favorite retirement savings vehicle is. You mind sharing that?
Sure. I generally advocate a very balanced and comprehensive approach to tax-free retirement. I really love to take advantage of every nook and cranny in the IRS tax code. And so I talk about a lot of these different ones. All of these vehicles do things that the other vehicles don't do. So it's important to include all of them as part of your plan. For example, I love the Roth 401k because the Roth 401k can give you a match. None of the other tax-free streams of income allow you to get a match. I love the Roth IRA because it gives you instant liquidity. If you ever needed to get that money out, you could take it out 100% penalty-free and tax-free. I love what we have come to call the life insurance retirement plan because it gives you a death benefit that you can access in advance of your death for the purpose of paying for long-term care. I love that if you can keep your provisional income low enough, and provisional income, by the way, is the income the IRS tracks to determine if they're going to tax your Social Security. If you can keep that provisional income low enough, then your Social Security can be 100% tax-free. There's one stream of tax-free income that a lot of people forget about. And a lot of people don't realize that you can take your RMDs from your IRA, spend those on your lifestyle and not pay any tax at all. And here's how you do it. You have to make sure that your RMDs are low enough that they don't eclipse your standard deduction. What is your standard deduction? If you were to retire today, it's $29,200. What does that mean? That means that you can experience income from any number of sources up to $29,200 without paying any tax at all. So if you take $29,200 out of your IRA, that's all, and you don't have any other taxable income, that's all 100% tax-free. And that is actually my very favorite stream of tax-free income. Why? Because you got a deduction when you put the money into the IRA, you grew that money tax deferred, and then you took it out tax-free by way of that standard deduction. And that's what I like to call the holy grail of financial planning. You get a deduction on the front end, you grow it tax deferred, you take it out tax-free. So there's all these different nooks and crannies in the IRS tax code. Then when you use them in tandem with each other, sort of those puzzle pieces come together, and then that 0% tax bracket comes into focus. And I make a big deal. That's, you know, the power of zero, how to get to the 0% tax bracket and transform your retirement. That's the subtitle of the book. But I make a big deal about being in the 0% tax bracket because the only way to truly insulate yourself from the impact of rising taxes down the road is to get to the 0% tax bracket. Why? Because if you're in the 0% tax bracket and tax rates double, like a lot of experts are predicting, 2 times 0 is still zero. So the strategy really calls for multiple streams of tax-free income, none of which show up on the IRS's radar, but all of which contribute to you being in a tax-free scenario in retirement.
And I love it when we can make that happen. That's just so much fun. And I love telling that favorite investment of getting money that's never been taxed and won't ever be taxed if we can do it right within those parameters that are relatively small that the IRS has given. But still, you get that along with all those others and cobble those together for a really great plan that doesn't compromise lifestyle and insulates them from that tax risk, as well as some other risks that can torpedo a good retirement plan. So, well, I have appreciated our time together. I understand you do have a new book coming out in the near future that I would love to chat with you about another time, but I'm excited to see that one when it gets here. And we'll keep doing our part to keep you on the bestseller list by buying these a case at a time and handing them out to our clients to get educated.
I would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, David. I appreciate being a part of this today.
My pleasure.
If you found this information useful, please share it. If there is something you hear that raises a question, you can sign up for our free consultation as well as sign up for our free newsletter. Visit askscottnelson.com to sign up. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you plan well, you can retire happy.
The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The views presented today are those of SLN Financial Incorporated and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy. Investment advisory and financial planning services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and SLN Financial Incorporated are independent entities.